Welcome to Keep It Low Key. This is like the first episode we've done in like what?
Like 3 months.
Oh wow.
It's been a little bit, but we're glad we're joined by Strawberry Milk Call. What's up, guys?
Howdy, howdy. What's up?
All right. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. An honor.
It means a lot for sure. Alrighty. So where are you guys based out of?
We're based out of Texas. We live in like a kind of a small town and like, you know, around the like near the Gulf, you know, right down at the bottom. So, yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. So like basically like what got you guys like into the band? Like, you know, what's the story of it?
I got this one. So it kind of all started when I was, I can't remember how old I was, maybe 13. My mom would send me to this camp that they would do in Dallas every year called Camp Jam. So I was going there from like 13. I think I went until I was 17. And while I was going, I met, you know, some friends in, you know, who, you know, did music and stuff like that. And I didn't have any, you know, I didn't know any people like locally really that were, you know, into music really like that in that way at least. And so, we started playing that way. And then I met our guitar player there, and we met our drummer there, and he kind of has this, I don't know. Okay, so it's, his mom is a lawyer, I think, in the city that he lives in. So he got us like a little show at like some festival in like the middle of nowhere, Texas. And there was like 20 people there. So that's how we got started. And then, we just started releasing stuff on SoundCloud and stuff.
That's not how the actual band started. That's just how we got a few of the members.
All right, well then go ahead. How did the band start?
Remember, we didn't have the band until like sophomore year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and we came up with that because we were a couple of troublesome boys, and we were both sent to a private school, like a really small private school, me and him. Mm-hmm. And we were like, you know, there was like 10 people in our class, so like we were the only friends we had, so. That's where, what was it? Lettuce and the macaroons.
Yeah, we had a little a band that didn't make music called Lettuce and the Macaroons. Just us. It's just for the, it's just the name. Nothing else.
So, I like it. So Strawberry Milk Cult then is by no means like a new operation. You guys have been like making
music. Oh, yeah, no, we've been going around here and there for a while.
I gotcha. So like it's not the first iteration then.
Oh yeah, no, definitely not.
Yeah, so take us to the first iteration then. What's like the what's the first name you guys are going by, you know?
Right. Yeah. That first iteration, before we released anything, we were Lettuce and the Macaroons, just us two for nothing, right? And then so we made a SoundCloud account. And we recorded a track on GarageBand, like without an audio interface, without like any of that stuff, just like in
the iRig too.
We had like this like thing that you can plug into your phone, and then you plug it into your guitar, and then you can record stuff that way. So we made a track that, yeah. So we made a track that way and put it on SoundCloud under the name Dirty Beach, and. And then from there, I remember what happened. I submit this one track that we had on like a live stream. So this dude pulled it up on a live stream and was reacting to it. And there were a lot of people watching, so we got a little bit of traction there, like a few thousand plays on that song. And then from there we changed our name again after the traction, and then we got sued for that name, so we had to change that. And then that brings us to now, honestly, with this name. We put it into a random band name generator, and yeah, we're just, you know, spitballing names, trying to, you know, come up with one. And so
I got you. How many Daniel.
Yeah, so I read that in an interview, actually, and I was wondering how many okay, here, I'll restart that question. Yeah, so I read that in an interview, actually, and I was wondering, like, how many names did you go through the generator until you found that one?
Oh, dude, you know what? I actually have some of them on like a notes.
So, yeah, he wrote down multiple. It wasn't like, all right, we found this one and that's it. He had like a whole long list, and we discussed it for quite some time. You know, what a name we wanted and what have you.
Oh, yep, here it is. And Strawberry Milk Cult right at the top. So let's see, a couple good ones. Got the Basement Boys. That was a good one. Let's see. Xanax Jelly was a good one. Happiness Factory. That one's kind of lame. The Family Network.
Oh,
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Strawberry Milk was up tier. That was good.
I got you. When I first like heard of you guys, I thought you guys were like doing a playoff of Neutral Milk Hotel.
Oh no. Yeah, I love Neutral Milk Hotel, but
yeah. And actually, that brings us to our next thing. What's kind of like your influences for your guys' sound, you know?
I would say probably my biggest comes from The Strokes, because it's just, you know, my biggest, what I grew up listening to, everything to like the way I sing, even, just it's just straight ripped from Julian Casablancas. So what about you, man? What do you get your muse?
My muse? Yeah, just a lot of alternative. That's you know, what I'm really into and what I grew up listening to.
That hard '90s alternative. Radiohead.
Yeah, Radiohead for sure.
I got you. Any album by Radiohead in particular?
Not really in particular. I mean, the ones that I grew up listening to, or the songs rather, were mostly from OK Computer, but I think that was just because that's the most popular album.
I got you. Nice.
And then I have just a quick question, not really to music. Is your microphone inside of a sandal?
Oh, yeah. That's we'll show these up close here. So we got these little.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and so did a little bit of DIYing ourselves.
I love it. No, nice. That's not even the craziest thing. We've had one of our past reviews, one of the band members just tuned in from his car.
Oh, nice.
Great. Yeah.
Like on the car stereo.
Yeah, we're used to it. Nice. Yeah, we've seen a whole number of. People tuning in from stuff. Yeah. I gotcha. So you kind of mentioned earlier, like, I forget who it was, but they like hooked you up with a live show.
Oh yeah. That was our drummer. Oh dang, what's going on back there?
we have like a background thing.
Turned off. Nice.
Our drummer, I met him the last year that I went to that camp, and they kind of, they'd like randomly select, you know, like campers there. I was going to say students, but that doesn't make sense. They select campers like at random to be in bands based on like what instruments you play. Mm-hmm. And so he got bunched in a band with me and our guitar player. And so we just, you know, became friends from there. And his mom is like a lawyer. She has some kind of in at like city council or something like that in his hometown in just the middle of nowhere. So that's how we got that.
Nice.
So first gig ever.
What was it like playing live?
It was great. Yeah, we practiced 4 or 5 songs, I think. And because our drummer told us that we only had to go on for like 20, 25 minutes. So we practiced like a tight 4 song set. And we go up there and the announcer guy is saying that we're going to be up there for an hour. It's like, oh, man. So we went up there and we played the same 4 songs like 3 times for it to fill out the hour. And we got paid with a free t-shirt coupon as well. So that was pretty
sweet. Very nice. So was this at like a, what kind of like, like you say, announcer?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you said like, that, so like, what kind of gig is this? Is this like a local festival?
It was like a weird, like local, it was just like a local fair.
It was actually a poultry festival.
Oh yeah, it was called the Poultry Festival. That's what it's called.
I love it. So I can definitely like hear like the Texas type.
Yeah.
setting for you guys. Yeah, absolutely. So what is like the Texas music scene like?
You know, it's, there are a ton of artists that I love from Texas, like you know, Dayglow, I'm sure you've heard of, is from Texas. Great stuff, good stuff. And I was actually working for my grandma as a at her like restaurant as a sound, or not sound, but I was doing the lighting for like live shows. Mm-hmm. And so they just brought through a lot of country artists, and it was just difficult to sit through sometimes. But yeah, a lot of that down here. But I mean, a lot of great. I mean, sometimes they bring like, you know, like a bluesy rock kind of stuff, and I can't get enough, dude. So.
I gotcha. Yeah, it's nice to have you guys on. A lot of our interviews, they're based out of like California.
You know, it's actually really funny because he says this every time. We've only had 2 interviews from California.
So. Okay, but like, I mean, well, they are like generally from like
2
more what? All right, 2 out of 7. whatever. Okay, we have interviews from all over, but never from Texas, and it's like nice to have you guys on because you guys, that kind of like feeds into the whole like genre thing. So like, how would you like? What would you like characterize yourself as a genre?
I don't know. It's kind of weird because I feel like we haven't released anything in a while. Aside from like the big thing when we made our album was like almost a couple years ago, now, or like a year and a half ago. So yeah, we haven't released anything in a while. So I'd say a lot of what we've been making is a lot different from that, which I would consider sort of like a pretty mellow, like indie pop kind of vibes, you know, with like some, you know, splashes of alternative rock in there, I guess.
I got you. No, that's pretty cool. So let's see here. All right, well, let me take over.
I'm kind of the one that's more into like the indie and stuff. So I'll probably do most of like the actual music questions. well, you have your song MF Gloom. Are you guys big MF Doom fans?
I am a massive MF Doom fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about Josh. I don't know about you.
I'm not. You did put me on the spot. I'm not going to be a poser here. I'm not a fan, but like I'm not a fan. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
You know, pretty good.
You have a song, you have the song Borge Gush.
Oh yeah.
Couldn't help but remind me of Rit Momney. Is that
I've gotten that a lot. Dude, you know what's crazy about Rit Momney? This is kind of tangent, I guess, but it's crazy about Rit Momney. Momney is I remember when we were first like starting to get some traction on Spotify, he was in our all artists also like section, and so when we released Forge Gush, I got a lot of people mentioning that it reminds me of Rit Momney, you should check him out. So I checked him out, and I liked his stuff a lot. He had like something like 100,000 monthly listeners, and then I went and checked like yesterday or something, he had like 10 million. It's like this man took off to the stratosphere.
Yeah, he really blew up.
To the moon.
Yeah.
To the moon.
No. So no, keep going. I had like a question, but like I just blanked on it. Nice.
I actually don't know if this is the title of the EP or just the album art, but your Eggs EP.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is that ever gonna come out on Apple Music? Cause I was trying to because I've listened to like some of your stuff, but I hadn't gotten through like all of it, and so I was trying to listen to that, and I realized it wasn't on Apple Music.
Yeah, I'm not sure even why that is the case, because I'm not sure, because you know what it is, actually, I did have to take it down and re-upload it for some reason, and then there was some kind of weird thing with our distributor, and it's always Apple Music specifically that it just doesn't upload there for some reason, uploads everywhere but Apple Music.
Yeah.
And then I emailed like support about it, and I was like, I don't know why that happened. And they just didn't get back to me. So I emailed them again. So yeah, I mean, I'm just in the process of trying to get it back up. Yeah.
You're like the fourth artist that have like complained about their distributor sucking.
Yeah, we had
it's just Apple Music. I think that's the biggest problem.
Maybe it's Apple Music. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we actually had this band, Pickle Darling, on. That was our last interview. And we were on his Spotify, and I had noticed the art for his EP changed. And so during the interview, I asked him, I was like, oh, hey, what's with the new art? And he was like, what? What? And then he like went and checked Spotify, and he was like, nobody's supposed to see that. That's the album art for my next album.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
It was like preemptively uploading everything.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Speaking of album art, who's on the cover of the Polar Bear single? Who is that?
Oh, that's actually it's like an AI generated face. So it's like one of those like this person does not exist. So it just is. It's just a completely not real person.
That's actually not what I was expecting at all. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's nice to have the DIY aesthetic on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely adds like another layer.
DIY people. The whole thing.
Yeah. How's your songwriting process go? Can you guys walk us through like how you write songs?
I think I'm the one who writes the songs usually, and when I'm writing a song, I've never like had a song written that I'm like, okay, I have this song written, now I want to record it and turn it into something. It's always more of we are making like instrumentals and like coming up with like just, you know, little musical ideas and stuff like that, and then I'll kind of come up with kind of like a chorus or a verse or something, or maybe just an idea that I already had, and then try to build off of it and just add it into the song.
Nice.
Yeah. Has the pandemic affected how you write music at all, or has it affected?
Kind of. It gives you a lot more time definitely to just be inside making stuff. But I mean, the way it is down here, I mean, they opened up, you know, everything real quick. So, I mean, you know, I was back to work and stuff, you know, pretty quick. So so I wouldn't say it affected, you know, too much.
Yeah. And you have, I read this in an interview as well, you have the song Zoinks, and you said you just finished watching Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
When you had written that, and you were really inspired by Sex Bomb. And, you know, Scott Pilgrim's one of our favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. It's 18.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, well It's one of my, it's probably my favorite movie ever also. So it's, yeah, I mean, I listen to, there's those four songs from Sex Bob-omb just over and over again all the time.
Yeah. Oh my God. I've seen that movie like at least 30 times. Cause I used to watch it like every weekend with my dad when it, like right when the movie came out.
Yeah.
It was
classic.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. It's so good.
Definitely. So, really quick, I'm checking out your guys's like just like the names of the songs and stuff. So like, how do you go about like choosing song names? Cause like, I see this trend a lot with like a lot of indie bands, really just alternative genre in general. Like they, artists tend to like choose like really obscure names for stuff, like this one, Dear God, It's a Psychopath.
Oh yeah.
Like, so like, how do you go about like naming a song?
I don't know. I feel like, I kind of have like a notes thing open as well. Where I just kind of, maybe I'll have an idea that's like, oh, that could be a good idea for a song title, and just write it down. And so, it's just kind of sort of that thing where I'm just thinking of song title, like, oh, that'd sound cool as a song title. You know, that could be pretty cool. And just, you know, applying it to, you know, what makes sense, I guess.
I gotcha. So, this was kind of like just earlier, you guys like saw some like early success, a lot of streaming off of like SoundCloud and stuff. Like, after what release did you start like seeing that like popularity skyrocket?
What would you say? Did you? Oh, it was a purple. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was Purple Honey. I think when we released it on SoundCloud, right? Originally, first, it was only on SoundCloud for a little bit.
Yeah, and we didn't have a bass, so it was the bass line was actually like a really low tune.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the tuned down. We tuned the E string of just a guitar, like all the way. Super deep.
Oh, crazy.
But yeah, it was after that one, because I think I also submit that to like a live stream review thing, and so yeah, that was big source for us early days.
I gotcha. What did that like success feel like?
I don't know, it was crazy, because at first, I mean, when it happened, we, you know, got like a few thousand plays in a day, and I was freaking out, dude. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. Like, we got like to like 5,000-6,000 plays, and I was just losing it. And then eventually it started just kind of slowly climbing from that point. And yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, surreal for sure.
I gotcha. No, that's definitely good to hear. So like, are you guys like currently working on any new music?
Yeah, we're working on some new music. I was just laughing. Do you want to tell them why you're laughing?
I don't know.
it's because we're working on some new music. We're working on some stuff last night. That kind of sounds like it would be, you know, in like a Ford commercial, like a Ford truck commercial.
Yeah,
Ford tough. So yeah, but we've been working on some new stuff for, I'm not sure if it would be maybe an EP or an album yet. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah.
I gotcha. Nice. All right, no, it's definitely good to hear.
So yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at your Spotify right now, and you're at 128,000 monthly listeners.
Yeah.
And that's like really crazy, because I use Apple Music, and I was using Spotify when I first started listening to you guys, but I feel like it was definitely not that high.
Oh yeah, no, I don't even know what happened.
Because I remember like I messaged you guys, and it was like, I don't even remember what it was, because it was so long ago, but it was like, it was in the 10,000, like not the 10,000, but it was definitely below like 100,000.
Yeah.
So I did not know you guys like had that many now, which I really wish Apple Music had the monthly listeners thing.
Yeah, I wish that too. It's kind of weird. I like looking at this. I kind of just like, I remember this artist. Let me see how many monthly listeners they have. It's just interesting to know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Are there any artists you'd like to collaborate with in the future, like any contemporaries that you really dig?
We have one of the artists in our fans also like section on Spotify. Also, they had hit us up about playing a show before COVID happened, and then obviously that was shut down. So hopefully when, you know, this stuff is all over, we can set that up again, and that would be really great. It was with Mickey Darling. Another band called Cage Mates, I think, was also going to play the show. And so, yeah, we're looking forward
to it. I've heard of Mickey Darling before. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The question of them all, are you guys into Elvis Presley?
Oh, dude. Yes, man. Oh, no way, dude.
Every time we enter one of these interviews, we know for a fact we're like, these guys are into Elvis Presley, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, man.
That's like the common theme between all the artists that have been on the podcast. They've all been like, oh, yeah, and Elvis Presley. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were interviewing High Sun, and High Sun was like, oh, yeah, I love Elvis Presley. And then American Poetry was like, whoa, yeah, Elvis Presley, super cool.
Yeah, Pickle Darling.
He's
like, oh yeah, I know him.
And like everyone like knows him. And it's super funny because I still haven't listened to him yet.
Oh man, yeah, it's great.
That's like the
You haven't listened to him? What?
No, I haven't listened to him yet.
Yeah. I
gotta get on
Elvis Presley like is like the artist that has influenced all the other artists that we're into. And it's
crazy. Oh yeah.
He's like that. Elvis Presley, like what we're finding is like the underground artist of like the people on our podcast.
Your favorite artist's favorite artist.
Yeah, exactly. Elvis Presley. No, that's exactly it. But yeah, no, that's good to know about your guys' music and stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Do you think we can like probably call it?
Hey, thanks for tuning into that clip of the Keeping It Low Key podcast. You can find the rest of the episode at Keeping It Low Key YouTube channel or find us on Spotify. Thank you so much. See you next time.